So we come back to Revelation. I'm not quite as good as the other Mark in terms of my knowledge of that book. I haven't done a PhD, so please be kind. Friends, it's wonderful that we can open God's word like always. But I wonder if you've ever heard this question. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Now, maybe you had this question when you were a young person. Or maybe it's a question that you've asked other young people, you know. Maybe your children, your grandchildren. I was recently asked that question by someone about what my son wants to do when he leaves high school, which is only a few years away, but still. Now, it's a question which basically asks, what are your plans for your life? What are your plans for your life? Now, when I was at high school, I wanted to join the Air Force. There you go. I wanted to join the Air Force. Why? Because I loved planes. And I even did my year 10 work experience as a ground engineer at Ansett Airlines. Now, who remembers Ansett Airlines? Ansett Airlines was around, had a financial collapse, and then it stopped operating in early 2002. So it was around for ages, and it was really bad for the country, but these things happen. Now, I still love planes. And I love looking at planes as they fly over. So if I'm talking to you outside, and because we're pretty close to Richmond Air Base, and I see a Hercules or a C-17 Globemaster, which is on the screen there, fly over and start looking at that, I'm not doing that because I think the conversation's boring. I'm just reminiscing on what might have been if I'd actually joined the Air Force. But I think it's a question, actually, we need to be asking as a church. What do we want our church to be when it grows up? What do we want our church to be like or known for as it grows from a small church plant to a provisional parish and, God willing, to a medium church of over 200 people attending in two services in our new building? And should we even care to plan this? Or should we just let God lead us where he wants us to go? Well, to work out this question, we're going to reflect on some more questions today and also use God's word to help us. So, should we plan as a church? Does God care about our plans, and how can you be involved? Well, I'm actually convinced that God works through his people and that he actually holds his people accountable for how they live. And we see this come up often in the Bible, but especially in Matthew 25, where Jesus is talking and speaks about three parables that talk about his return. And each story, the 10 virgins or bridesmaids, the talents or the bag of gold, the sheep and the goats, it's the people who did something concrete, invested their talents, prepared to meet the bridegroom, helped someone in need while they waited for Jesus. These people are commended, while those who did nothing are rebuked, but even worse, shut out of God's kingdom. Now, I know Reformed churches make a big deal of stating that we're saved by grace, not by works. And as you probably know, that comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And it's really important to state that, but often we leave out the next verse, verse 10, which is also true and equally important. See, God has saved us, yes, but he saved us for a purpose. And he wants us all to be a part of his purposes. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the seven churches are rebuked for their lack of or ungodly actions and praised for their godly ones. See, friends, we're a church that has grown because we've planned and we're given those plans to God in prayer. Lots of things have worked. Some things have needed improving. And a few things, well, they've failed. But if we never planned and never did anything, I think we'd be dishonoring God. And sadly, friends, there are churches that don't plan and don't do much and think that God is going to work through some mysterious ways to turn around their ministry. Now, I heard from a friend who lives in Wellington, New Zealand. There's a church in that city that doesn't advertise, has no ministry beyond their walls, and shuts the doors on Sunday just after church starts. Maybe we should roll down the shutters or something like that, I don't know. And why do they do this? Well, because they believe that God will bring who he chooses to their church, and they don't need to do anything more. God will mysteriously bring the people, and they just have to turn up. Now, sure, God works through angels. He works through animals. I mean, he spoke from a donkey, didn't he? But generally, in his word, God works through average people like me and maybe you to do his will. So friends, if you trust in Jesus, you're spirit-filled and ready to do the good works that God wants you to do. So if you haven't worked it out, I think planning and partnering together in ministry is really important. And I think it's something that Jesus wants us to do. So how should we plan? And does God actually care about our plans? Well, I guess we could all do our own thing. But I'm not sure if that's God's method. Yeah, sure, he wants you to be a witness in your workplace, a witness in your school, a witness to your family. Wherever he's placed you, he wants you to be a witness. But it seems in the Bible, certainly in the New Testament, that God works through his people. And in the New Testament, that is the local church. And I think that's why our journey through the book of Revelation was and is so helpful for us. See, it's a letter that has been written to seven churches, and it's about discipleship. As Mark Stevens told us as he introduced Revelation a long time ago now, he said the book is about disciple making. He also then said that some interpretations of Revelation have led people to be forecasters rather than disciples. He used this line: we've sacrificed discipleship for forecasting. Now, I hope our church never sacrifices discipleship for anything. But often we can go down a path, and that's the wrong path. So the book of Revelation is a letter to God's people in seven churches in Asia Minor, which is on the west coast of modern Turkey. And like most New Testament letters, this letter has the goal of making disciples. Now, as we read the words, especially in chapter 2 and 3, but all throughout Revelation, well, we need to remember that Mark taught us so well that they were written to people in the first century AD before they were written to us. But it's the same overall message through the ages, even though for us, we might struggle to understand some of the exact details, especially around the historical context of a particular city. So we can't get lost in the details and then forget the overall message of discipleship. Now, as you heard today's Bible reading, you may have noticed that there was a pattern in the messages to, well, at least the three churches that we read, but for all the seven churches. And first, well, the message is directed to the angel. And this is likely to mean a messenger who collected the letter and then read it to the church. Second, there's an indication that the words that follow come from Jesus. And if you remember Revelation chapter 1, the language is very much the same. Jesus then says, I know your ... And in the majority of cases, he praises the church for their good works. When we get to chapter 3, we'll see that it's a little bit more negative than chapter 2. And the churches in Sardis and Laodicea, well, they cop an earful and there isn't much positive to be said. Generally, there's a rebuke for the church's shortcoming, but I have this or a few things against you. There is a call to repent and change, a reinforcement to listen and act. The one who has an ear had better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then lastly, there's an end time encouragement from Jesus framed in Revelation 21:22 language. And it starts usually with the words, to the one who conquers. In our examples today, it says, we'll eat from the tree of life. Revelation 22 speaks about the tree of life. Or we'll never be harmed by the second death. Revelation 21, the start of it. Now, each church is set in its own local context. They are in a part of the Roman Empire, which is a Greek region. So there are many gods to be worshipped. The Roman Caesars also believe that they need to be worshipped like gods. So you can see it's a difficult spot to be a Christian who worships one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the first city that's mentioned is Ephesus. And this is an important city on three trade routes. It's not the capital of Asia Minor, but it's like Sydney. It's really important for the economy of the whole area, and the city has lots and lots of things happening in it. Smyrna? Well, Smyrna was a persecuted church. There's a large Jewish population who don't really understand Christianity. It's really, really new and they don't understand it. So by nature, they oppose it. An early bishop who was a disciple of John, the author of Revelation, was famously martyred in Smyrna. Polycarp was his name. Now, Polycarp refused to acknowledge Caesar as Lord.
and for his refusal, he was bound and burned at the stake and then stabbed when the fire failed to consume his body. It's a pretty gruesome way to go, right? But that's what happened in Smyrna. It's not a very nice place. But the Christians, well, they remain strong despite what's going on. Pergamon, well, this is like your Canberra of Asia Minor. It's the capital city. It has lots of culture and money swishing about. It's got obviously rich public servants like Canberra has as well. It had one of the grandest libraries in the first century, which housed over 200,000 volumes, which is huge for a library 2,000 years ago. Pergamon was a place where there were large temples to so many different gods and also to Roman empires. Now, I think you get the picture. Each church in this relatively small geographical area has a different context. And if you think about it, our church here in Marsden Park has a different context. A different context to Mount Druitt Anglican, Oakhurst Anglican, Quakers Hill Anglican, and even Riverston Anglican. At Riverston, despite all the development that's happening there, there are still pockets of the community who hold on to the days when everyone worked or knew someone who worked at the meatworks. Now, the meatworks have been closed since 1994, but there's still a small pocket of the community that dream of it coming back one day. Marsden Park was just fields and cattle, so we don't care about anything, bar new houses, I guess. So why do we need to plan? To help us focus on the things that we need to do as a local church here in Marsden Park to glorify God and point people to Jesus. We need to think about the people who are in Marsden Park and the surrounding suburbs. We shouldn't have the same ministry plans as other churches. We shouldn't have the same ministry plans as a church like Kellyville. Kellyville's 15, 20 minutes away. The church has been there for 20 years. There's about 500 people that meet there in a building that's about 18 years old. Completely different context. We shouldn't have the same plans as them. So our plans need to focus on where we are and where we're heading. We know Marsden Park will be around 60,000 people in around 18 years' time. We already know that there's thousands of children living in this area. Northbourne Primary School in Illara will be about 2,000 students next year. The New South Wales government will build a new primary school in 2025 in Mellenbar for 1,000 students. The new public high school will open next year in Demountables for year 7 and 8. Then the actual Mellenbar High will open in 2025 with a capacity of 2,000 high schoolers. We have 100 plus year 7 students at this school next year. The primary school here will be about the same size as the one at Oakhurst, but it took Oakhurst 25 years to get to the same size as it's taken Marsden Park 8 years to do. There's lots of growth. There's lots of children. If you want a childcare in this area, it seems impossible to get your young one into a spot. The Good Start Early Learning Centre, which is near Coles in Illara, has a waiting list of 500 children. I know the director, and that's what she tells me. It's huge. See, we know there are lots of people here. We know that there are people from other beliefs and some with no beliefs. See, in this area, we don't have a ready-made population of Anglicans that are all of a sudden going to flock to our church. We're an area with many cultures and diverse age groups. So we need to do things differently to connect with these people. Now, can we do it all? Well, no. But we need to slowly chip away at things. We need to be strategic. We need to look at our area and we need to pray to God for wisdom. And God willing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll see more and more people transformed by Jesus. See, I really believe that God cares about our plans because He wants to see His kingdom grow in this area. He wants more people to become followers of Jesus, people from every nation, tribe, people group, and language. So how can you be involved? And I honestly think everyone can be involved. And it's really, really interesting the different contexts that God has placed people in this church in. See, I personally no longer have much involvement with babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and come the end of 2024, my youngest finished primary school and goes into high school in 2025. So I leave those primary school days and say bye to them. But there are parents. There are grandparents at this church with children in these age groups. So they have contact with other children and parents and grandparents that I don't. See, anyone who trusts in Jesus is ready to be part of the plan to see more people come to know Him in our area. God has put you in places, but He's also given you spiritual gifts, gifts that can be used to glorify God and to serve others. So yes, if you trust in Jesus, you have everything you need to be involved in God's plan. So obviously, we've thought about some of the things that we want to do as a church. And if you have that booklet, I have it under my paper, Building God's People. Can I encourage you to look at it? Can I encourage you to pray about it? Can I encourage you to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field? Can you please now grab your My Commitment to Grow and Serve? And this year, we've actually tied it to our priorities for 2024, to see people meeting Jesus, growing in Jesus, and raising up the next generation. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but under that connecting section, we specifically asked you to name someone who you could invite to Alpha. And I think that everyone can name one person. And this is actually a faith exercise. It's so you and me and other staff members can actually pray for you and for that person. Now, it might be that they come to Alpha in 2024. It might be that they come to Alpha in 2026. It might be that they don't come to Alpha at all.
But if our priority is people meeting Jesus and our aim is to point more people to our Alpha course, well, then we should each think about someone who we could invite, and we should also regularly pray for the opportunity to invite that person. Friends, I know we're a church that serves, and that is fantastic. But maybe you're new to our church, or maybe you have more capacity next year to serve compared to previous years. Well, what we've done on this form, you might see it at the bottom there, is we've actually put asterisks next to some ministries that we actually need more people to be involved in, especially as our plans are realised and our church grows. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you a few minutes to fill in a physical copy. We go to the next slide. We have QR codes for the online version, and Christine up there has some pens. So if you need a form or you need a pen, put your hand up and Christine will help you. If you want to do it online, do the QR code thing or type in that URL. That would be fantastic. So we'd love you to do it now, but obviously it's online, so you could do it next week as well or during the week. That would be fantastic. I'm just going to give you a few moments now and then I'll pray. If you didn't get the opportunity then, in your booklet, there's also the QR codes on the second from the back cover that you can obviously go there. You can take this form home and fill it out. But it'd be wonderful at the end, we'll get the welcomers to come around and we'll collect those forms. But again, you can do that during the week online, but you could also hand it in next week. That would be absolutely fantastic. I'll hand it over to the band.